don't cry.
I just can't help it, Alf. I was looking forward to it so terribly much, and then to be put out, it's broken me heart. I was the only one that failed.
Well, never mind, dear. You did your best.
Of course you did.
You did your best, Annie, dear.
Yes, I know, but I felt it so terribly.
Never mind, Annie. I'd never have dreamed of talking about my past if I thought you were hurt over failing. But the way you talked, I didn't think you minded a bit.
It was just me pride, Mabel. I didn't want to break down in front of all those other girls.
Poor old kid. Well, never mind.
But I can't help it, Alf. It was the bitterest disappointment I've ever had.
Oh, well, you don't want to go down to it, Annie. After all, there are plenty of other things you can do.
But I wanted a bit of glory.
How do you mean you wanted a bit of glory, Annie?
I wanted something, you know, to make Alf really proud of me.
Well, I'll be proud of you whatever you do, love.
But nothing could be as good as driving a transport, Alf.
Oh, I don't know so much about that, Annie. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but old friends can afford to be frank with each other, and you haven't got the knack of handling a car. I think you'd be better suited to do something else.
But I'd mapped it all out, Dad. The glory wasn't going to be so much in the way I handled the car, but in what I did. You see, I'm not scared, Dad, and I was going to go straight ahead in the face of the sky raining bombs.
What's that, Annie?
Yes, I made it all up in a daydream. The sky was just black with planes, and the bombs were falling down.
Jiminy, crikey. That's a nice sort of thing to wish on us.
Oh, I wasn't wishing it on you. It was just what I'd do if such a thing did happen. Well, anyway, bombs were coming down, and there was I at the wheel of my ambulance truck driving along a jagged road. And sometimes a big crater had come in the earth, and I'd be going so fast that my ambulance would just leap right over it.
Oh, Star of the Lizards, you go in for things in a big way, don't you?
Well, anyway, there's a gallant little band of defenders at the post, do you see?
At what post, Annie?
Well, I don't know. I didn't make that bit up. But they see the ambulance coming along, and they shout out and they say, "Great Scott, who's that driving along in the face of the fire?" And it's me all the time, but they don't know that till I come up to them.
Jiminy crikey.
And they're standing there, wondering whether I'll get the ammunition to them in time.
I thought it was an ambulance you were driving.
Oh, well, sometimes I imagine it's an ambulance, and sometimes I imagine it's an ammunition wagon. Anyway, I get my truck through, and I reach the post, and then someone shouts, "Good heavens, it's Annie." And there's a terrible lot of cheering, and I stagger out of the truck, and I'm just going to faint. And Alf comes up and he catches me in his arms and he says, "Bravo, Annie, I'm proud of you."
Well, I must say you do yourself pretty well in this daydream.
Seems a funny kind of occupation to me, making up those things.
Well, fancy. I always thought I was the only one who had those.
Had what?
Those daydream things.
What? Do you have them too?
Oh, I used to have them an awful lot when I was working at the hospital. I used to see myself standing in the ward on night shift, and suddenly an emergency case would be rushed out of the operating theatre, and the doctor would come up to me with a face as white as death and say, "Nurse, I'm leaving this case in your hands. It's touch and go. Do your best for her." And then he'd rush back to the operating theatre and perform another operation, and I'd be left there with the case.
Oh, yeah, well, you must have had a pretty anxious time one way and another.
Oh, yes, I did. And all the long night through, I used to keep my weary vigil, doing everything I knew how to keep that patient alive. And then in the morning, the doctor came in, and he used to look at the patient, and then he used to say to me, "Nurse, the crisis has passed. That woman lying there owes her life to you."
I see. And what did you say?
Oh, I just used to say, "Oh, it was nothing, Doctor. I was only doing my duty." And he used to say to me, "But it's the way you did that duty that counts, Nurse. I'm not a man to talk much, but I appreciate this more than I can say." And then he used to go out and all the other nurses would come in congratulating me.
When used you have all these daydreams?
Well, I usually used to have mine in bed at night just before I went to sleep, and I used to get so excited over it that I couldn't go to sleep at all.
Oh, Mabel.
Well, everyone has their hobbies, of course, Mabel, but it seems to me you'd have done better to go to sleep and had some rest than to lie there and think these things.
Oh, I don't know, Bill, there's a lot in it. Star of the Lizards, Alf, don't tell me you have them too.
Too right I do.
And what particular line of business did you shine in, Alf?
Well, mine was more in Annie's line, except that I always used to be
up in a tree with a machine gun.
A machine gun?
Yes, I used to be perched up in the boughs, covering the advance of some of our guerrillas. And with no other weapon but a machine gun, I'd clear the way for them.
No other weapon? Well, I reckon you were pretty well armed. A machine gun's a very good weapon.
It wasn't as good as if I'd had a cannon.
No, perhaps not, but somehow I can't see you perched up in a tree with a cannon, Alf.
Well, anyway, what happened?
Well, there was our gallant little band creeping forward through the undergrowth when suddenly a party of the enemy appeared and they were twice as strong.
Oh, you must have nearly died of fright.
Yes, Mabel, but I wouldn't give up. I still sat there in me tree and manned me gun.
Isn't he wonderful the way he stays at his post of duty?
I don't know, Annie. I don't want to brag.
Well, I think it was real noble of you.
Yeah, well, anyway, it isn't a bad yarn. How's it to end up?
Well, I roared out to our chaps to lie down in the long grass and leave this to me. So down they went, and then I opened fire. And bullet after bullet sped fast into the hearts of the enemy.
And what was the enemy doing all this time?
Well, he had his field glasses on, trying to make out where I was.
I thought you said there was a whole lot of them in this.
Yes, that's right, but only one of them had glasses. Anyway, they eventually found me and trained their guns on me.
Oh, love, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Then I had two courses open to me. I could stay there and die, or I could shinny down the tree and run and save myself.
And what did you do?
Oh, I stayed there, and then the heavens were rent with fury. The landscape for the next 5 minutes was a blazing inferno.
A blazing inferno. With a machine gun on one side and a few rifles on the other.
If Alf said it was an inferno, it must have been, because Alf's very truthful. Go on, love.
Well, anyway, my eyes were nearly blinded with smoke and flying shrapnel. But I kept on firing, and I was hit several times, but I stayed there.
Oh, Alf, you're marvellous, really, you
it's
are.
It's a wonder you're alive to tell the story.
Well, how did you get out of it anyway?
Well, when I awoke, all me men were standing around me, caring for me and crying and saying to me, "Thanks to your gallantry, Alf, we're all alive today." Oh, and if it hadn't been for you, we'd have all been lying on the battlefield. And 6 days after that, I got the Victoria Cross.
Oh.
Well, Jiminy Crikey, I'd never have suspected that Snake Gully was so chock-a-block full of heroes.
Going?
Not bad, thanks, Ted.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't turn up yesterday when you and Bill were doing a bit of work over at Dave's place, but as a matter of fact, Dad, I had an attack of asthma.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Ted.
You had an attack of asthma, did you? I thought you said you weren't troubled much with it. I thought you said that the VDC people didn't know what they were talking about when they turned you down.
Well, there's no need to rub it into him. You're not so hot with your blood pressure, you know.
Blood pressure? My blood pressure's nothing. A mere bagatelle. But if Ted's asthma was bad enough to keep him at home yesterday, well, what good would he be in the military forces? Anyway, you can't afford to talk. What about your varicose veins?
One solitary vein is a bit crook. One vein out of all I've got in me body.
Well, it must be pretty bad, though, if they wouldn't have you because they're wanting all the men they can get you now.
Well, I still maintain that I should have been taken.
Oh, well, we all have our disappointments, I suppose. It was crook luck about Annie not passing her driving test, wasn't it?
Yes, too bad. She took it to heart terribly, too.
How is Dave's place looking these days? I haven't been up there for a good while now.
It's looking good out, Ted.
Yes, the kindles aren't doing so bad, considering, but of course it's nothing like what it was in Dave's time, but then, of course, you couldn't expect it to be, you know. Dave was a born farmer. He's a wonderful boy. A wonderful boy on the land. I don't think there's anyone to touch him.
What rot. My boy Alec leaves Dave cold. When the two of them were both running their places, there was no comparison between them.
Quite right, there wasn't. Dave's place was out on its own.
That's why he lost all his pigs that time, I suppose.
Well, that was an accident that might happen to anyone.
The trouble with Dave is that he thinks he knows too much, and he won't be told. I told him about those pigs beforehand, but he wouldn't listen to me. No, he had to go his own way. He knew better than anybody else, and what did he do? Made a howling failure of the whole thing.
Don't you insult my son, Bill Smith. My son that's always fighting for his country. And you have the cheek to stand there and belittle him.
Well, I'm not going to tell lies just because a man happens to be in the fighting forces. Dave isn't a good farmer, and you're not honest enough to admit it.
What? Bill Smith, I'm getting out of this before I cram.
Goodness, Dad, you are late home. I've been expecting you for the last hour.
Yes, I know, Sarah. For the last hour, I've been up at the School of Arts studying that book, How to Make Friends of Your Enemies. If I don't do something about Bill Smith soon, he's going to drive me mad.
Oh, Dad, what a shame. And just as I thought you and Mr. Smith had been getting on so nicely.
Well, of course, Bill was very decent during the O'Brien business, I'll admit that. But now that it's over, he's starting going back to his old ways of picking at everything I say. Really, Sarah, he's enough to drive a man mad. Anyway, I know how to deal with him now. I'm going to follow out the instructions in the book. I'm going to be so polite to Bill Smith that he won't be able to pick at me.
Hello, Mr. Smith.
Hello, Mum. Dad, I came over to see if I could have a loan of your gallows tackle. Mine's busted.
Certainly, Bill. With pleasure. You're welcome to anything I have.
Eh? What's that?
Pleasure to lend you anything at any time. Now sit down, Bill. Sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Oh, well, I'm not staying.
Oh, that's all right. Stay a little while now that you're here, Bill. It's very, very nice to have you. Just take this chair, Bill. It's the most comfortable. I don't mind getting another one for myself.
Hey, Dad, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks, Bill. How are you? Mum, what about bringing that cushion over for Bill for him to lean his back on, eh?
I'm not decrepit. I don't need a cushion.
Now, don't you worry yourself about it, Bill. It's no trouble, no trouble at all. We're only too pleased to give you the best we've got and every attention any time you come to this house because we're very glad to see you, Bill.
What's the big idea?
What big idea, Bill?
You being so polite.
Well, I hope I'm always polite to my friends, Bill, and after all, you're one of the oldest friends I've gotten. I appreciate you, Bill.
Now listen, Dad, listen. I've just about had enough of this. I've put up with as much from you as I can stand, and now this is where you get off.
Get off? I don't understand you, Bill. I know what's the matter with him, Sarah. He's been overworking. He needs a cup of tea, poor chap. No, no, Bill. Don't say you won't have it now. I've told you before. Nothing's a trouble. Mum will make you a cup of tea in no time, and when you've had that, you'll feel a new man. Now, just you relax and make yourself perfectly at home there.
Now, listen to me, Dad. For once, you've gone too far. I resent your being so polite to me, and I'm not going to stand another minute of it. If you can't speak to me in a different way from what you're doing, then don't speak to me at all. Goodbye!